creation on earth shall adore you. Lord, every people will call on your name. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess your name, Jesus the Lord.
Yes. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. This is the only name by which all men can be saved. This is the only name which all men will call upon and receive deliverance from the very jaws of death. This is the name that we should strive to obtain. This is the name that we should strive to inherit. For as it is written in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. This is what we should strive for, the good name, which is the name of the Lord. People have, you know, strayed away from this truth, and they've pierced themselves with so much sorrow and pain. People have gone after riches, silver and gold, and the glories of this world at the expense of the name of the Lord. But the Lord is teaching us wisdom today, and He's calling us to sit down and reflect. What shall it profit a man if he gains all the silver and gold and he gains all the riches in this world and loses his soul? For this reason, we should strive to hold on to the name of the Lord. This is our inheritance, brethren. Those who know truth, those who love truth, our inheritance is in the Lord Himself. When John saw the 144,000 upon Mount Zion, you see this in Revelation chapter 14 from verse 1. This company of the redeemed, people who were redeemed from the earth, as they stood in glory upon Mount Zion with the Lamb. Let's read it. Revelation chapter 14 verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their name, foreheads. Praise God. These are the company of the redeemed, those who have come to the place of perfection in Christ. Those who have been redeemed from the powers of death. They have overcome death. They are victorious in Christ. These are the ones who have arrived. The first thing the Bible is quick to mention is that they had the name of the Father written upon their foreheads. This is our inheritance, our everlasting inheritance that will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the name of the Lord shall never pass away. And if we have the name of the Lord written upon us, we abide eternally. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. In another, in a revelation, John saw in the book of Revelation chapter 22, verse 1, from verse 1, he sees the company of the redeemed, reigning and ruling in glory. Oh, hallelujah. I'll read from verse 1 to verse 4. This is Revelation chapter 2, from verse 1 to verse 4. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and he shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Praise God. No more curse. These are people who inherit the paradise of God. They inherit the totality of what God is. We know that in God there is life. In God there is no trace of darkness. In God there is no trace of death. Oh, hallelujah. Those who come to this place, the servants of God, those who unite themselves to serve the name of the Lord, do inherit the name of the Lord. And they stand in the place of life. If you are looking for healing, if you are looking for liberation, peace, joy, if you want to drink of that stream flowing with life and vitality, you must strive to obtain that name. Oh, hallelujah. This is the new name that the Lord has promised those who seek him will inherit. Those who leave all to unite with the name of the Lord, who forsake the cares of this life and recognize the value of the name of the Lord. These are the ones who will inherit that name. Many people have strayed away from these doctrines in an attempt to gain silver and gold. Many have strayed away. And as a result, they've been pierced through by the devil, and they've inherited sorrow and death. But we have to consider our ways, brethren. We have to reflect on the fact that the silver, the riches, and the gold, and all everything that we see in heaven and the earth, those things created all belong to the Lord. All were generated by the Lord. They belong to the Lord. They do not belong to any man. No man can receive anything except it's given to him from above. No man. You see nations going to war over oil. Nations going to war over diamonds, over, you know, resources. We see this commonly in Africa. We see this in the Middle East. You see families being torn apart for inheritance. You know, lawsuits here and there. You see enmity and all that, all because of some gain of some elementary material thing that really do not exist. Let us reflect on this. Those who have, you know, profited in this world by gaining the riches of this world at the expense of the name of the Lord, where did they all end up? We've seen great men of fame come in and go, and their riches could not save him. We've seen rulers come in and go, and their riches could not save them. But those who recognize the value of the name of the Lord and go to inherit that name, inherit all things. Hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will therefore be added to you. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord maketh rich and he added no sorrow to it. Isn't this one of the words of wisdom in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22? The blessings of the Lord make it rich, and he added no sorrow to it. See, God can make you rich. See, you can come into a realm where you can obtain riches through faith and by righteous means. Bear in mind that the name of the Lord is the same name that created the heavens and the earth. All that Jesus as a man needed to strive for was to take a hold on the name of the Lord and maintain himself in the name of the Lord. That is why he could multiply, you know, 5 loaves of bread and, you know, fishes into thousands. You see, it arrived there and then he distributed the bread and the fishes. He didn't think about, you know, gathering the fish and the bread to sell them to make money. No. Jesus had made the name of the Lord his silver and his gold. And we have the assurance that everything works out for our good when we make the Lord our silver and our gold. A point came where Jesus needed a donkey. He needed a means of transport. And in the name of the Lord, by the almighty name in which he walked by, the name of the Alpha and the Omega, the omnipotent and the, you know, the all-powerful one, that name, he sent his disciples to fetch a donkey for him. A donkey that had never been ridden. He said, tell them that the master wants to use the donkey. And the owner let the donkey go. That is dominion, power to obtain riches from above. Praise God. The donkey, that kind of donkey was an expensive means of transport in those days. You can equate it to your whatever, your Jaguars, or your Ferrari cars, or whatever, your Mercedes Benz and all that today. We have to learn to obtain riches in the Lord and not contaminate ourselves, corrupt ourselves with the evil down there in this world. Oh, hallelujah. The doctrine that, you know, infiltrates this age encourages men to go for riches ahead of God. Gain is seen as godliness in this realm. This is the doctrine of this world, this age we live in. Just put on your channel, your TV channels everywhere, and hear what you hear, what they preach in the traditional churches, in Pentecostal churches around the world. It's all about money, money, money. Riches, riches, riches. But very few people know the value in the name of the Lord. It is the name of the Lord that can be your strong tower throughout all eternity. It is the name of the Lord which brings about your health, your salvation, your riches, and everything that you will need throughout eternity. It is a strong tower to those who recognize it and take a hold on it. Oh, hallelujah. The rich man of this world, he tries to build his tower with his riches. You see, with corruptible blocks, things that he gathers unto himself in this outer realm. But with time, these things crumble and they find themselves in deep trouble, in sorrow, in distress, because they did not listen to the counsel of the wise. Oh, hallelujah. The wisdom of God is available to all. But we must recognize it. We must be able to understand, to receive the wisdom of God and understand the value in the name of God. This is the name above all names, exalted throughout eternity. And it remains forever, from generation to generation. Those who take a hold of that name will be like Noah, who entered into the ark and was saved. That ark is the name of the Lord. That is the strong tower. He entered and laid the hold on the ark, on the name of the Lord, which acted as his ark, his salvation, that exalted him and saved him from destruction and caused him to prosper in new life. Praise God. So let us, lay hold on the name of the Lord. I go back to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now go down to verse 11. The rich man's wealth is a strong city and has a high wall in his own conceit. See, we're seeing two types of people. You have the righteous man and the rich man. The rich man is the man of the flesh. The rich man is the man of this world. Say it. Who lives according to the flesh? Who is poor in relation to the knowledge of God? See, these are the ones that think by their works or some form of outward, activity, they can build their walls of salvation. See, but with time, they will discover that these things will crumble. See, just like the Tower of Babel that crumbled with time, that crumbled, and it brought about confusion. That is how the towers of men and the strongholds of men crumble with time. Praise God. So we must shun the corruption in this world. We must shun, unrighteousness. See, shun our own human wisdom and stand in our place, taking a hold on the name of the Lord, the eternal name of the Lord. Praise God. Now let us listen to some of the sermons of Paul. This is a sermon, I would rather say a letter to Timothy, his son in the Lord. See, try to admonish him to stay away from the wisdom of this world. See, or the wisdom of the men with perverse minds. Let's see it. Verse 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. Perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, telling him to stay away, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and lustful hearts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. See it? For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some converted after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. But O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Wherefore thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We are called to lay a hold on eternal life. And that life is found in the name of the Lord. Our call is to stand firm and not to be carried away with the delusion that we can gain this world to ourselves. Praise God. This is the wisdom and foolishness of men that drown men into destruction. See it. That covetousness. See that desire to gather glory to yourself as a man. The desire to build up your name upon the earth and to be seen before men and to be seen in this outer physical realm. This is what brings about sorrow, pain, distress, temptation, sin, death, and every evil we see in this world today. It is the law to gain something in this outer realm. You remember the rich man who came to Jesus saying that he had obeyed all the commandments of God from the day he was born? And Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, he loved this man. Jesus Christ now told him, there's one thing that remains. You sell everything that you have, you possess unto yourself. Sell everything, you know, so that you have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. But this young man had so many possessions on the earth. He had so many riches on the earth. So he was so saddened by this word of Jesus and he left. He couldn't follow Jesus. He couldn't forsake all for this kingdom, for the sake of God's kingdom. He couldn't forsake his everything that he had gained unto himself for the kingdom of God. He said, and Jesus Christ says, it is more easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The rich man is the one rich in self-knowledge, rich in the flesh. See, right from the day we came into this world, you see, we have been edifying the flesh, the outer man. You see, according to the doctrines and the teachings from our parents, from, you know, our relations from the institutions, we've always tried to nourish the outer man of the flesh. We've, you know, gathered riches unto ourselves and tried to make a name for ourselves upon the earth, in this physical outer world of appearances. See, but if you have a revelation of the name of the Lord, which is in secret, the name of the Lord, which is invisible, the name of the Lord, which is eternal, and you want to unite yourself with the name of the Lord, you must be ready to forsake everything that you've gathered unto yourself upon this earth. See, to enter through the eye of the needle, you must become a spirit. To inherit the name of the Lord, you must become a spirit. So that, you know, at times it seems that the Lord does not own the world, yet he owns everything. You cannot own or possess something by physically handling it. See, the illusion of we men is that we think that by physically handling something or holding something in this outer world, it is ours. It's not ours. Praise God. So we just have to awaken within us. Let us not be carried away with the doctrine of this age. Let us shun all forms of godliness and stand in our houses. This is the house. Stand in our place. Professing the name of the Lord. Not allowing our minds, our desires and everything to stray away. Because the only thing that there is to gain is the name of the Lord. Every other thing passes away. Hallelujah. You just put on your TV, open the newspaper and read them. Virtually on a daily basis, you hear of somebody who was famous, rich, you know, who passed away suddenly. Some of them, they passed away at 30, at 40, at 50, at 60. And when you dig into their lives, you find out that they really never lived. Their life was filled up with complications, sorrows, and problems. See, but if we want to partake of the streams flowing with the river, with the river of life, if you want to partake of the glory in God's presence, we must forsake all and hold on to the name of the Lord. Even Jesus himself, as a man, had to forsake his own self to lay a hold on the eternal name of the Son of God, Christ. He had to humble himself to the death of the cross as a son. You see it? Meaning that even the life of Jesus had no eternal value. That's I'm talking of the life of Jesus as a man. That life that he had when that he was born with in the manger. That life is not the life of God. It's not of God. If not, Jesus Christ would not have had to humble himself to the death of the cross. That which has to die is that which is worthless, that which cannot inherit God's kingdom. Now let us go quickly to the book of Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See, the death of the cross is the crucifixion, is symbolic of the, crucifying the man of the flesh, crucifying your human identity, your life in this world of appearances, your life in this outer realm of darkness. He had to let go of that life. Letting go of that life means letting go of his identity as a Hebrew man. Letting go of his identity as a male. Letting go of his identity as a son of, Mary or Joseph. Letting go of the fact that he probably might have had other brothers from the same, physical womb which he came out from. He had to let go of all that to take a hold of the name of the Lord. You see, it wherefore God, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, wherefore God also has exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now listen, he too had to inherit that name. He too had to strive to inherit the name of Christ. He had to crucify Jesus. Jesus had to be crucified for him to inherit Christ. That new man, that new name inheritor, which is Christ Jesus, is the name above all names. And that is the name we strive to today to inherit. It is the name above silver and gold. It is the name above riches. It is the only name by which all men can be saved. It is the only way by which we can obtain honor and glory. Praise God. So our goal as Christians is to strive to take you to get that there. In reality, we all have that name in us, but we have to rediscover it. Everybody has to discover it. This is the working of our salvation. See it? That same path, Jesus Christ's path, is the same path that we have to go. We have to reduce so that Christ increases in us. Oh, hallelujah. The name above all name. The name of the Lord God. Hallelujah. That is the name in which the fullness of God dwells. The totality of everything that God is dwells in that name. And that is our inheritance, brethren. Hallelujah. If we have that name, you have everything. And you have eternal life. You have that same power, because by that name everything is formed in this world. All the elements of this world were formed, were created through that name. And that is our inheritance. So which one will you go for? Will you go for the source, or you go for the elementary objects of this world? Oh, hallelujah. So if we are to find ourselves liberated into the place of all power and life, all dominion, we must strive. Isaiah 56 talks about those who live on. In search of this name. Amen. Those who live on in search of this marvelous name of the Lord. Isaiah 56 from verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice. For my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that does this. Praise God. The man that, the Son of Man that laid hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hands from doing any evil. Praise God. Neither let the son of the stranger that has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even them will I bring into my house and within my walls a place and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Glory be to God. An everlasting name that shall not be cut off. This is the inheritance of those who seek the salvation of the Lord. This is the inheritance for those who forsake all to display the mystery of godliness. Those who forsake all to stand as true witnesses of Christ upon the earth. Praise God. These are the ones that will inherit the new name. The name above all every other name. The name above all riches, all silver and all gold. Hallelujah. These ones who separate themselves to serve the Lord are likened to eunuchs. You know what a eunuch is? In the old days, the eunuchs, are castrated people who will, normally serve, dignitaries, kings, or men in high places. These were dedicated servants who, whose glory and whose, you know, reward was solely in serving their master. You know, a castrated man is a man that, you know, has cut off every desire so that his own pleasure would be in pleasing his master. He cannot mess around with women anymore. After all, it's no more functional in that area. So he cannot have pleasure anymore. His pleasure is derived by serving his own master. And that is where his honor and his glory is. So those of us who cut off from this, the pleasures of this age, the lusts of this age, and seek the pleasure that comes from the master, hallelujah, the pleasure that comes from the presence of God, that seek that pleasure from above, that which is from above, forsaking the lust of this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, forsaking all the temporary pleasures of men, the things that men think they enjoy. You forsake all that solely to serve God and to seek his own pleasure, to seek his own glory. Hallelujah. The Lord promises that he will bring you into his house. Hallelujah. And you shall come to his place of what? Of joy. 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 For in my house shall be called a house of prayer. A house of joy, jubilation, gladness. Where God will clothe you with salvation. It's a realm you come to where you shall lack no good thing. Oh, hallelujah. When you are encompassed with the best of the living God, in that day he will cause you to delight in his name. The name of the Lord shall be your delight. And you shall see, you know, the streams of life. Hallelujah. The torrents flowing within you and without you. You shall see the beauty of God's creation. And you shall see his face and you shall serve him. And he promises that you shall have that name, that everlasting name. That is your reward that shall never pass away. Every other thing will pass away. But that name will never pass away. If you have that name, you are back forever. Oh, hallelujah. So what do we choose? Should we go after the riches and the glories of this world? Or wait patiently for our master, doing the things that please our master? Paul says that if we do anything, let it be done in the name of the Lord. If we do, you see, if we talk, if we speak, let us speak in the name of the Lord. If we look, let us look in the name of the Lord. Any action we do, let us do it in the name of the Lord. For we have no life of our own. Wait patiently. For the Lord says that I will do what? I will give unto them in my house. And it might be a name better than that of sons and daughters. An everlasting name. That name that is exalted above all name. That name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Hallelujah. It shall be catapulted up to the pinnacle of glory to reign with God the Father. Hallelujah. In that day, you walk upon the earth in the name of the Lord. You walk upon the earth displaying the mystery of godliness so that seeing you is seeing the Lord. Touching you is touching the Lord. Hallelujah. This is what God desires of us. Let go of all. Let us be wise. Let go of all. Hallelujah. Our cares and everything. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. And he will give you and expect it. We must learn to believe God. Trust him. He maketh rich and he added no sorrow. He will honor you. He will glorify you. And you just stand in your place. And the appointed time he will meet with you.